VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. We have got a very full program today. And just before we introduce our guest and topic, we want to bring to your attention that MoveOn.org is calling for nationwide rallies tonight, calling upon Congress to impeach and remove Trump. They're calling it Nobody is Above the Law events. And I thought that's a very interesting title for a couple reasons. Number one, they say nobody's above the law, yet we see if you're an illegal alien, well, then it's okay. Then it's okay to be above the law. But secondly, no one seems to pinpoint what laws President Trump has broken. Nevertheless, these rallies are being held across the nation tonight, and just wanted to mention that as a reminder how badly we need to be in prayer for our nation, how badly we need to be in prayer for our leaderships. Our leaders need to know they're not an end in themselves. They have an accountability before Almighty God, and one day they will stand before Him, and it's better that that be recognized now than later. Well, today we have to deal again with an issue that's confronting our nation, perhaps like none other. It's an issue that strikes at morality. It strikes at God, the Creator, making male and female. It's an affront against God as it relates to marriage as being between a male and a female. That's how God designed it. And what's shocking is that so many are rising up, and we're seeing this happen in different religious sectors, to join a movement of every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, to bring about changes to our civil rights code that adds sexual orientation and gender identity. And it's legislation that's being initiated by Republican members of Congress. It's being backed by those in the religious community, including Seventh-day Adventists, National Association of Evangelicals, The Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and others who go under the guise of religiosity. But it's a total affront to God's word. Joining us today, we welcome Peter LaBarbera, who is president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. They're a nonpartisan educational group dedicated to exposing the homosexual, bisexual, transgender activist agendas. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity.
Peter, many were shocked, and we've got several topics here we'd like to bring to the attention of our listeners, but many were shocked to see Chick-fil-A thumb their noses at Christians and now declaring their funding of an organization that's been involved in LGBT advocacy. I think of Covenant House. Drag Queen Story Hours are a part of this now. And so is Chick-fil-A. Now it's Hallmark, who has been featuring an ad for Zola.com. They're a wedding planning and registry company. Shows two women exchanging vows and mouth-to-mouth kissing to celebrate. 1MillionMoms.com took aim at this, pressured Hallmark to pull the commercial and other LGBT content, but Hallmark stopped airing the ad, saying it violated their policies, and then, just like a snap of the fingers, they rescinded their pullback with an apology, and Peter, it's full steam ahead for LGBT with Hallmark.
Yeah, Jim, they really caved in so quickly. The homosexual activists led by the Human Rights Campaign, you had open homosexuals like Ellen DeGeneres, and you even had the actor with Star Trek, William Shatner, condemning Hallmark for merely doing something to maintain its brand. I mean, anybody who's watched a Hallmark movie knows what the brand is. It's wholesome. It's all about marriage. They even very rarely, I think, even show premarital sex, Jim. It's a very sort of wholesome thing. I'm not saying it's necessarily Christian, but it's wholesome. And so to have an ad that shows two women kissing and celebrates homosexual so-called marriage, which is an abomination and just an affront to God, to have that as a commercial for Hallmark, it goes directly against their brand, and yet now they've caved in and they're going to actually be promoting sexual immorality on Hallmark even more now because of this.
Peter, I'd like to read a statement here from Hallmark Cards Incorporated President and CEO Mike Perry, who on the Lord's Day, Sunday, apologized to the wedding planner Zola, the website Zola, after the Hallmark Channel removed it. And here's what he said. The Crown Media team has been agonizing over this decision as we've seen the hurt it has unintentionally caused. said simply, they believe that this was the wrong decision. Our mission is rooted in helping all people connect, celebrate traditions, and be inspired to capture meaningful moments in their lives. Anything that detracts from this purpose is not who we are. We are truly sorry for the hurt and disappointment this had caused. Across our brand, we will continue to look for ways to be more inclusive and celebrate our differences. So, Peter, what they're saying, we don't care about the people with morals and values that have built our audience here. Instead, we want to be more inclusive and celebrate our differences.
Right, Jim, exactly. Nobody wants to turn on Hallmark and see ads for two women or two men kissing, or even worse, programming that features homosexuality, and you know that's next. And Jim, they talk about hurt. Look at the language they use. What about the hurt that's caused when something like Hallmark models homosexuality to young people? You have maybe a young child watching what they thought was a wholesome Hallmark show that sort of glorifies marriage, and all of a sudden they see homosexuality being celebrated. That causes hurt. That harms children. That is a very detrimental thing for a child to learn, the idea that that is normal. And so you could turn the language they use around on them, but the bottom line and the most shocking thing to me is, Jim, that now they are poised to go even more directly against their brand, and their brand is wholesomeness and real marriage, and now it looks like they're going to be going against their own bottom line.
Not only did Hallmark reverse their decision, but evidently, Peter, they're deciding to take it further. As ABC reported, they said this: it is never Hallmark's intention to be divisive or generate controversy. We are an inclusive company and have a track record to prove it. We have LGBTQ greeting cards and feature LGBTQ couples in commercials, the statement said. It also said it would be partnering with LGBTQ advocacy group GLAAD to better represent the LGBTQ community across our portfolio of brands. It also plans to reestablish its partnership with Zola and reinstate the commercials. So, Peter, not only is it this commercial, but now we're going to have this new partnership. We're partnering now with the advocacy group GLAAD. We're going to look against, across all of the portfolios that Hallmark represents. Peter, they're going from one of which they had, perhaps neutral positions to one of, putting in these commercials, which they started in December, and now they're going full bore.
Yeah, and Jim, let's look at the language again. They said they don't want to be divisive. So they partner with a hateful homosexual activist group, GLAAD, which is a far-left propaganda outfit that works with Hollywood. And GLAAD, the homosexual activists talk about they don't want to be erased. That's some of the language that they used. GLAAD directly works again to erase ex-gays. They demonize ex-gays. They demonize Christian groups as hateful. So now Hallmark is partnering with a far-left group that demonizes faithful Christians, all in the name of not being divisive.
Peter LaBarbera is with us, and Peter, virtually overnight, we had the Human Rights Campaign start boasting that they garnered nearly 70,000 signatures to let Hallmark know that LGBTQ people won't be erased. That was a statement from Alfonso David. They got quickly involved in this, and we also know that the Corporate Equality Index by Human Rights Campaign it seems to be very important to Hallmark. When Hallmark said they would remove this lesbian marriage commercial, HRC announced, "We're suspending Hallmark's score," which, by the way, Hallmark has a 100% rating. Hallmark did not want to see this happen. They did not want to see their score suspended. And this past Sunday, Peter, they made their grand announcement saying, we have been recognized as one of the Human Rights Campaign's best places to work and as one of Forbes America's best employers for diversity. We have been a progressive pioneer on television for decades, telling wide-ranging stories that elevate the human spirit, such as August Wilson's The Piano Lesson and mention others. But here, Peter, they have bowed to this diversity score from the Human Rights Campaign.
Right, and I think we need to educate our listeners a little bit. I know we've talked about this many times, Jim, but this is the rigged HRC Corporate Equality Index by which they celebrate and reward companies for being pro-homosexual, pro-bisexual, pro-transgender, and they punish corporations if they do anything to support, for example, take a step to support traditional marriage. So here you have Human Rights Campaign, the most powerful homosexual activist lobby group, which calls itself queer, by the way. That's their new thing, LGBTQ, Q for queer. They are using this index that they created, which is heavily rigged, totally biased. They're using it to bully these corporations, and it's a very effective tool for which I don't think there's really an effective counterpart on the other side, Jim, which is why we lose, because homosexual activists have created these tools with the help of the media, and they use them to browbeat these corporations, even from neutrality, Jim, like you said. It would be one thing if they would just be neutral, but they have to be pro-homosexual to get this 100% ranking, which includes taking ads out in homosexual media, putting homosexual theme and transgender theme content in ads, and giving grants to organizations like the Human Rights Campaign, whereas, Jim, if they gave a grant to, for example, Americans for Truth, they would lose, have a negative rating, they would lose points in that score.
Well, folks, for those who are interested, you can contact the Hallmark Channel Viewer Services. I have a toll-free number and an email address I'm going to share with you. You can contact Hallmark Channel Viewer Services at 1-888-390-7474. That's 1-888-390-7474. You may also send an email to viewers@crownmedia.com. That's viewers@crownmedia.com. Peter, not only is it this, but as we reported yesterday in the program, Netflix. I mean, here we now have a so-called Christmas special depicting Jesus Christ as a closeted homosexual called The First Temptation of Christ. And not only that, but they have another, using this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of Christ as our Savior, to feature another movie called Let It Snow, The First Temptation of Christ and Let It Snow.
Yeah, Jim, and I only saw the Let It Snow one, which is you have the soft pro-homosexual propaganda and then the hardcore just mocking this openly, I mean, incredibly blasphemous, you know, Jesus as a homosexual. And, of course, homosexual activists have been doing this for years, Jim, and we can't even say some of the things they've done, the blasphemies they've promoted, because at heart, homosexual activism and homosexual activists and transgender activists are at war with their creator. They're at war with God. That's why they create these movies mocking and blaspheming Jesus, even around Christmas. But as far as the other one, Let It Snow, Jim, that's a softer propaganda in which this is what I think Hallmark is in danger of doing. It's kind of a little romance relationship movie set around Christmas in which there's several heterosexual relationships and then one lesbian relationship, which is treated just like all the others, Jim. And this is how Hollywood is promoting homosexuality to young people.
Well, I saw one article, Peter, where there's a whole lot of people that are dumping their Netflix accounts.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Netflix is, Jim, you would not believe the extent to which Netflix is promoting homosexuality and sexual perversion and transgenderism. I was just looking at their assortment. I didn't even get through it. There's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of movies, and I have the feeling, Jim, that there are other ones which are extremely radical that Netflix has on its selection list.
Peter LaBarber is our guest today. He is president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We're going to take a quick break, and folks, when we come back, we're going to be talking about new legislation introduced by Republicans to advance the LGBTQ+ agenda, putting sexual orientation and gender identity into the Civil Rights Code. It's unbelievable, folks, and they're getting the backing from the religious community. We're back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, just how intelligent were the Neanderthal people?
Chris, the Neanderthals were people just like me and you. They were descendants of at least one of the tribes that migrated away from the Tower of Babel. Perhaps they lived in harsh conditions, but they were fully human. Archaeologists have even found that they had musical instruments, using the hollowed-out bones of animals perforated with holes like a flute. When replicas of these are made, it's found that they used the same musical scale that we use today. Mostly, they preferred minor keys. Of course, even the Israelites are known for their songs in minor keys, producing beautiful but haunting melodies. You see, Chris, even Neanderthals go back to Genesis, and so should we.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarber is our guest today from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, you've got a website where you comment on various things as well. Give us your site address, if you would.
Yes, Jim. It's Americans for Truth, and that's F-O-R written out, americansfortruth.com or .org.
Okay, again, by the way, folks, again, to Hallmark, it's 1-888-390-7474. Or an email to viewers@crownmedia.com. Well, Peter, we see what's happening in the secular world today, but the promotion of LGBTQ advocacy has crossed into the religious community with support from Seventh-day Adventists, Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, National Association of Evangelicals, and others in a bill that was introduced December 6th by Congressman Chris Stewart of Utah. It's H.R. 5331. It's being called the Fairness for All Act. It says it will prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity. And also, Peter, it's supposed to protect the free exercise of religion. Your thoughts?
Well, Jim, this is just unbelievable. And I think for our readers, especially the evangelical organizations, the NAE, National Association of Evangelicals, signing on to this bill, which all this is, Jim, is a light version of the Equality Act, which is the bill that would add homosexuality and gender confusion, otherwise known as gender equality, transgenderism, into the Civil Rights Code, which would create coercive legislation which would be used directly against people of faith and even people who are just moral-minded, who aren't Christians, who oppose, for example, homosexual so-called marriage. This bill grants the main premise of adding homosexuality and transgenderism into the Civil Rights Code. This is a horrible, horrible piece of legislation, and the fact that religious organizations are behind it is an incredible sellout.
It really is. And Peter, as I take a look at this, this is legislation that has 8 co-sponsors, and every single one of these is Republican. We're talking about Congressman Bishop of Utah, Congressman Curtis of Utah, Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Simpson of Idaho, Upton of Michigan, Stefanik of New York, Amodai of Nevada, and Joyce of Ohio all have signed on to this. And Peter, what I was reading here is that this is the very first time that Republicans in either chamber has been the one to introduce legislation that would put into code, into our state statute, our nation's statutes, codify sexual orientation and gender identity right in our nation's laws.
Yeah, it's incredible, Jim, and this is kind of a gimmick. They have 8 moderate to liberal Republicans doing this, and Jim, I think it's important to point out that this bill is sort of a national version of the Utah legislation, which came after the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, sold out and backed gay rights, which was a stunning development given that the Mormon Church had almost led the fight against homosexual so-called marriage. But a number of years ago, they caved on gay rights, and now this is a Mormon legislator, Representative Chris Stewart. They are proposing a national version in the name of compromise. But Jim, my good friend Matt Barber once said, if you give the left an inch, especially homosexual activists, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. If you give them a mile, they'll take the final inch. That's what this is. They're giving them almost all of the main premise of the homosexual special rights legislation, and they'll later just get rid of those exemptions that they put in this bill, and they'll make it even stronger.
One area it addresses, it would ban discrimination against the LGBT community in situations of public accommodation, Peter, also employment. I mean, that's what the end goal of ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It's the goal of the so-called Equality Act.
And Jim, don't forget, how did they go after the Boy Scouts? What was it? It was a sexual orientation law that banned discrimination based on public accommodation. that's how they went after the Boy Scouts and ultimately won, even though the Boy Scouts won in the Supreme Court. They later sold out. So public accommodation and sexual orientation laws have been the coercive tool that have been used to harass Christian businesses.
It also very interesting because Congressman Stewart of Utah is the lead sponsor on this. And when I go to his website and I read his piece on his site pertaining to this, it refers people then to the Fairness for All website. And when you click on the about them, you know, the about section, the Alliance for Lasting Liberty, it has two co-chairs. It's the American Unity Fund and First Amendment Partnership. Here's what it says about American Unity Fund. American Unity Fund is a 501c4 nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the cause of freedom for LGBTQ Americans by making the conservative case that freedom truly means freedom for everyone.
Yeah, and that's just a bastardization of conservatism. That has nothing to do with conserving liberties, because we already know that laws exactly like this one on the state and local level have been used to take away people's freedom to disagree with homosexuality. So, and so-called gay marriage. So, Jim, how can they advance this in the name of conservatism and liberty?
Peter, it also defines who is a religious employer. I mean, they say a house of worship is a religious employer, but a religious-run hospital is not a religious employer, and so therefore they would not be exempt. This is something that would affect Christian businessmen all over the country. I mean, we think of the Masterpiece Cake Shop and our, you know, the Arlene's floral business and the photographers and everybody else out there. That's these cases that have gone before the Supreme Court, and they're basically telling these Christian businessmen, you're no longer going to have your exemption.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation points out that basically what this does is it says we'll take our exemptions for formal church bodies, but everybody else is thrown to the wolves, and they're the ones who will bear these lawsuits. And it's not, Jim, it's not just always the lawsuit. Sometimes it's the chilling effect, knowing that when we've seen people like the Kleins, you know, forced to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees because they've been sued by pro-homosexual activists, the chilling effect sometimes gets people to cower and to go against their beliefs. And, Jim, we haven't even talked about the transgender effects of this legislation.
Right. Yeah, because when it talks about public accommodations, Peter, that means what? You open up your restrooms, your locker room, your shower. Your place of a public accommodation has to be available for people in the how they perceive themselves to be sexually.
That means all schools, Jim. That means for you families out there that have daughters, that means you can have a biological boy in school who decides that he wants to be a girl or thinks he's a girl or is pretending to be a female, is allowed to participate in these sporting events. He's allowed to go to be in a woman's locker room. It's going to cause all sorts of chaos in schools. But we've already seen in athletic competitions where real girls and real women are being victimized by these transgender athletes. These are biological males who are allowed to participate in female events, and their inherent strengths and advantages are leading them to win these events, and they're basically taking achievements away, or the ability to win away, from real girls and real women.
Again, folks, we're talking about a bill just introduced. We're waiting for it to get up on the congressional website. If you do a lot of maneuvers, you can find it through the other website there that is linked to from the congressman's website. But it's H.R. 5331. It's being called the Fairness for All Act, H.R. 5331. Peter, you referenced Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation, and he said its protections for religious liberty come at the high cost of enshrining a misguided sexual and gender ideology into federal law. This would put sexual orientation and gender identity as protected characteristics in the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Yes, Jim, and of course we know, especially as Christians, that our rights come from God. You cannot have constitutional rights, so-called, that are rooted in sin, that are rooted in a sexual perversion, homosexuality, and abject gender confusion. How can you create rights, so-called, based on unchangeable sin, sinful behavior? It's incredible.
And when we think of the Equality Act, again, we quote the president of HRC, Alfonso David, who said the passage of the Equality Act is a critical step toward ensuring that bisexual, pansexual, sexually fluid, and queer people, alongside the full LGBTQ plus community, realize the promise of equal opportunity for all. And so, Peter, when I hear all of his descriptions of what will be included in things like the Equality Act, and some have called this Equality Act light, I mean, the movement that we have seen today, we ain't seen nothing yet compared to what they want to do to this nation.
Jim, that's a great point. And that's why HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, renamed itself, recast itself as, quote, queer. They put the Q in there officially in their name because they know that it doesn't even end with bisexuality and transgenderism. He mentioned pansexuality. People have to understand when they talk gender identity, sexual orientation, these perverse identities are constantly expanding. There are now people who call themselves bi-gender, agender. There's all sorts of things we don't even know about, and they're constantly expanding, and businesses are going to have to accommodate that under the force of the law if this passes.
I'd like to give another quote from Ryan Anderson, who talks about, and this is from a summary of the column he wrote. He said, SOGI laws, again, that's sexual orientation, gender identity. SOGI laws, including FFA, that's what we're talking about here with this act, are not about freedom. They're about coercion. SOGI laws are about forcing all Americans to embrace and live out certain beliefs about human sexuality. They're not about protecting the freedom of people to live as LGBT, but about coercing everyone else to support, facilitate, and endorse such actions.
Absolutely. Just think of Jack Phillips. He's a Christian baker. He just wants to live by his own creed, his own conscience, in his own business. And he's been bullied by the state, first on homosexuality. Now they're coming back, bullying him again to support a transgenderism. This is nothing to do with freedom, nothing to do with liberty. It's all about the power of the state, using the power of the state to coerce people, especially Christians, to support sexual immorality and gender confusion.
A statement from the Seventh-day Adventist Church says, quote, the Seventh-day Adventist Church endorses this balanced and principled piece of legislation because it affirms two essential components of our belief system, honoring God and loving our neighbor. Peter, they've got it completely wrong.
Yeah, it reminds me of the phrase, who was it, Jimmy, who used useful idiots? Was that Lenin or Stalin? I can't remember who used it. But, I mean, these Christian organizations, and even the ones who aren't Christian organizations like the Mormon Church, they are being used. They are putting the cloak of religion around radical sexually radical legislation and gender promoting gender confusion, and when they throw that religion on there, it gives a cover to a lot of people to say, hey, this must be okay. A lot of Christians will be fooled by their endorsement of this radical coercive legislation.
The bill, again, is H.R. 5331, and folks, keep in mind, this is being advanced by Republican members of Congress. Republican members of Congress, which you can reach at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. But, Peter, this is so reminiscent. I remember, you know, learning about the beginnings of Planned Parenthood and how they knew that they had to get to the pastors and to the churches in order to have the goals of Planned Parenthood come, you know, into their into fruition across this nation. And that's exactly what this is doing, to get into the church, to encroach the National Association of Evangelicals, Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, Seventh-day Adventists, to advance that which is totally contrary to what Scripture teaches.
Right, and we know that HRC and all the homosexual activist organizations have been working to undermine true Christianity and to fool Christians for so long. And Jim, this also reminds me, after the break, I'll tell you what else this reminds me of.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick 60-second break. We're going to be open lines here in just a moment. Stay with us. Tell you what, let's open the lines now, 800-733-9829. Let's get your reaction to this, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny. Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for that not only changes his life, but that of others as well. Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ plus agenda is advancing. And now they're now it's being advanced by Republican members of Congress and members of the religious community. Peter LaBarbera is our guest today from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And before we pick up our first call, Peter, you were interrupted as you were going into the break here as you were talking. This is reminding you of something else.
Oh, yeah, Jim, thanks for reminding me. I was going to say civil unions. Remember, Jim, I don't know if it's 15 years ago or whatever, we would do shows and we'd be talking about how the people would say, oh, we're just talking about civil unions. This has nothing to do with gay marriage. We're not interested in gay marriage at all. And, of course, civil unions was a mere stepping stone to homosexual so-called marriage. And this Fairness for All so-called bill, sponsored by religious groups and Republicans, is really just a stepping stone to the Equality Act, which is the most radical pro-homosexual, pro-transgender federal legislation ever put forward.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Pastor Dale calling in from Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes. Peter, thank you for all that you're doing. And Jim, my question would be, with the liberal churches that we have out there that's driving this mandate, how do we as pastors deal with this issue? Because everybody says if we delve into this arena and we call this out and call black black and white white, they say we're getting into politics. So how do we deal with this from the pulpit to drive a biblical worldview? I'll hang up and listen.
Great.
To the answer.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. And Peter, I'll let you respond in a moment here. But Pastor, what I would say, just preach the word. Preach the word. Open up to what it says in Romans chapter 1. Let's understand why it is that God brought such destruction to Sodom and Gomorrah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are cleansed. I say just proclaim the word. It's the word of God is not political. We're talking about morals. We're talking about what God has laid down in his word. And there are those who want to reframe this, Peter, as being a political issue. This is a biblical issue.
Right. And Jim, the irony is that these religious groups have gotten political on us. And the irony is that they end up promoting a left-wing agenda, a left-wing social agenda, because there's no way when you're talking about Equality Light, which is maybe what we should call this, Jim, or I used to call the Equality Bill the Criminalizing Christianity Act. I guess this is semi-criminalizing Christianity because they're only covering a select group of people, and why should only a small slice of people get exemptions while everybody else is thrown to the wolves of LGBT legislation? So I say exactly, this shows exactly why we need to be engaged in the process. Now we see these groups like the National Association of Evangelicals, which I think was biblically faithful at one time. They are not anymore. If they're promoting legislation which would turn a sexual sin into a civil right, then the National Association of Evangelicals should change its name because that's not an evangelical Christian position.
Christian Post reported December 13th, 2018, it said in October the NAE passed a motion called Fairness for All, asking Congress to consider laws that regard human beings as made in God's image and that sexual relations be reserved at that time for marriage of a man and a woman. But Peter, now we are seeing this is going beyond that, that the First Amendment protections guarantee free exercise of religion and other issues here, but they're delving into this new piece of legislation.
Yeah, Jim, you just cannot abide two versions of rights. Either rights come from God and they do protect real liberties, or this is a newfangled thing where we're actually talking about so-called civil rights rooted in a sexual perversion that people have fled out of. That's the good news, is people have left homosexuality behind. And I know Pastor Dale has witnessed that firsthand. People have heard the gospel. They have walked away from homosexuality. They have been helped by God. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see laws passed which actually encourage the celebration of homosexuality as some kind of innate identity that cannot be changed.
Barry is calling from Alabama. You're on the air, Barry. Barry just hung up on us. Let's go to Debbie in Topeka, Kansas. Debbie, you're on the air.
Okay. Thanks.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I just wanted to make a point that this is all reaffirming what the Bible says, and it just, you know, makes me glad that I'm a Christian and that we're all going home soon, because, you know, persecution is going to be the next thing.
Yeah, and keep in mind that, Debbie, we have no promise of escaping persecution. We've got a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith today.
I know.
But
I'm just saying it's coming to America even more prolific than it already is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
And we're not.
We are seeing it. Of course, when you see somebody like Jack Phillips or the Kleins or, you know, the Christian photographers, I mean, this is just the first step.
Yeah.
But what the homosexual transgender lobby has revealed is that they want full acceptance. They have no fear of using the state not just to gain acceptance, but to punish people who disagree, especially the ex-gay movement. They're after them, and they're passing laws to ban them.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just reaffirming that, you know, the Lord is coming soon and to look up.
Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks. Sarah in Tennessee, you're on the air.
There's someone else talking.
Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the air.
Oh.
Listen to your phone, not your radio.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know this and everything is getting really horrible, but I just want you to know that not all Seventh-day Adventists even know about this, and we're not behind it at all.
Thank you. You may want to be in contact with the leadership there of your denomination, but thank you, Sarah, for your call here today.
Can I bring up a point?
Sure, Peter.
That this shows that these groups, which form, you know, sometimes attaching to Christianity or not, they do not represent the people in the pews and the everyday people out there who know what pro-homosexual legislation is and what it is not. And this is a masquerading as civil liberties legislation, but it's very strong pro-homosexual, pro-transgender legislation.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Courtney in Miami, Florida. You're on the air, Courtney.
God bless all you saints. Yesterday I was angry. Today I'm even more angry. Saints, Jesus said, I sanctify myself that ye might be sanctified. These people, unclean spirits have entered into their minds and captured their minds. Jesus also said, he said, I pray not for the world, but for those that you have sent me, given me, Father. Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. All this has come about. I was so angry, and I take all the cross talk just about. But yesterday, I couldn't stand to hear the way Jesus was portrayed in movies. And this yesterday, the most we can do, saints, is call into our congressmen, give them our opinion, and we've done all that God has called us to do. We are to live holy. The Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, all those things, God has only one church, and that's the Church of God. Amen. I mean, in Christ Jesus. So God bless all y'all. Protect your kids. Watch over them. Read the books and read that Bible with them every day. God bless you, man.
Thank you, Courtney. Let's go to Christine in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. I was wondering if Mr. LaBarbera has any information as to the leanings of the Gospel Coalition. It seems like they've gone very left in this area. I mean, it's the slide is very evident, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are, because we've tried to alert our church to it, and they just don't seem to have any problem with it, and it's very obvious to me.
Well, I think the temptation of groups like the Gospel Coalition is to start promoting, say, a non-practicing sort of gay Christianity light, in which they say, okay, well, you can be gay and Christian as long as you don't practice. And that's the first step. We talked about, you know, the nose getting under the tent. That's what this is. The legislation, the LGBTQ agenda, always advances incrementally. And that's what we see with this Fairness for All legislation. That's what we see with so-called celibate gay Christianity, which is now starting to be promoted by some leading Christian figures. And I don't understand why we would make special provisions for homosexuality in talking about Christianity. If we don't talk about adulterous Christianity or porn-using Christianity, why would we talk about so-called gay Christianity?
Okay, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Susan is calling in from Meridian, Mississippi. You're on the air.
My question is, when you say the Seventh-day Adventist, because I am Seventh-day Adventist, what organization of our church is supporting this? The General Conference?
Well, all the articles and the references that are coming from the congressman don't specify it beyond that. Let me see if I can find even the name. I'll have to look for it as we're talking here. It is coming, matter of fact, in the press release that came from the congressman's website, just refers to it as being Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay. And this bill is H.R. 5331.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the congressman is who?
Congressman Stewart is the primary author of the legislation.
Spelled S-T-E-W or S-T-U-A?
S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
From Utah.
From Utah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what I plan to do. I'm contacting my church immediately, and I'm going to get a copy of your program.
Thank you for the call today.
Thank you, and thank y'all for doing this. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. John in Lawrence, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I am a former second shift worker, retired thankfully, but you would drive by some of the disco clubs or whatever they were called, dance clubs in Milwaukee. We have the right to refuse service to anybody dressed to impress. So if they could refuse, I don't know why Christians or anybody else is picked on, but it seems like if you get at the government and if you get at the church, you're killing a society, and it's amazing how 1.7% or whatever it is of the public can run, pull the donkey by the tail or whatever it is. I'll shut up. Thank you so much for your programming. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call. Any comment, Peter?
Yeah, I think it's one of the greatest stories of American history. How this small radical sexual minority, which 50 years ago, Jim, in-your-face gay activism really began with the Stonewall riots, which was an anti-police riot in Greenwich Village, New York, how just 50 years later, they're now dominating society. And the caller is right. And I think, Jim, one thing we have to realize with this so-called civil rights legislation is civil rights, our black civil rights history, we're talking about people who, we're talking about skin color. When you're talking about homosexuality, you're talking about changeable sexual behavior. There are no ex-African Americans or ex-Hispanics, but thankfully there are thousands and thousands of former homosexuals, ex-transgenders, people who came out of those sinful lifestyles with the help of Jesus Christ in many, many cases. And so it's just a travesty to throw in sexual immorality in the guise of civil rights.
Let's go on to Caesar calling in from Zanesville, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, this is Caesar. Thanks for having me.
Caesar, hello? Yes, Caesar, please go ahead. We've announced you twice.
I'm sorry. My statement was that I wanted to make it everyone aware that there's a lot of estrogen-mimicking hormones in the foods we eat, a lot of phytoestrogens, which are plant estrogens, soy especially. It's in everything, and a lot of people don't realize that they're feminizing our young boys. They're giving them basically hormones in many different ways, many different aspects of our food and drugs and whatnot.
Okay, thank you, Caesar. We're up against a break. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We've been doing a series on radio and television on information warfare and American Christians. My friend Jeff Nyquist makes a very good point in one of his books that patriotism and paranoia have now been connected. Patriotism and paranoia. In other words, if you believe in certain values of America, such as national security, national sovereignty, borders, the threat from Islam, the threat from Marxism, the threat from globalism, you're now paranoid. No, you're just really holding to patriotic values. You believe in American values of sovereignty, security, our way of life, our culture, the purpose and function of government, reward the righteous, punish the wicked. Those are patriotic values. Well, now they've been defined as being paranoia. You're crazy. That's why they use terms like Islamophobia, homophobia, and xenophobia.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Peter LaBarber is our guest, Americans for Truth. .com. And Peter, that last caller here before the break talked about foods we eat. I don't think you have any information pertaining to that. Is that correct? We ran out of time.
I'm not a specialist on that, but I know, I'll say this. There are a lot of factors in our culture that are at work feminizing young men. And so, and that includes evidently now Hallmark and Netflix and all the this entertainment world, which is glorifying improper role models, glorifying transgenderism, this idea that a biological male can become a woman. Imagine, Jim, how ludicrous, and yet that's being mainstreamed by Hollywood and the liberal media.
Back to the phone lines. Jimmy calling from Georgia. You're on the air, Jimmy.
I'd like to thank you, Jim, for having Peter LaBarber on. He keeps us informed about this topic, and we as Christians need to be in prayer about this matter.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate your call. Shelley in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Pardon?
You're on the air, Shelley.
Yes, I got a question. I'm recently turned my life over to God, and I understand that we're not supposed to judge people. And I work with a few people that are gay, and I don't know how to handle, I don't want to judge them. I know that they're, you know, still God's children. How do I deal with that?
Well, first of all, understand, Shelley, that a person is only God's child who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those who don't know Christ as Savior, I mean, even as Jesus talked to people, he said, you're of your father, the devil. So we have to understand we're not all God's children, as we hear so prevalently given in our world today. Secondly, we are to judge, even as we said, we are to judge a righteous judgment. Now, the final judgment of condemning people to hell is that's God's business, but we are to be discerning individuals. Peter, your further comments.
Yeah, and Jim, we are to agree with God's judgment. And so let's look at our culture, which is now kicking God to the curb, Jim. Every time somebody who's, whether they're a Christian or not, or believe they're a Christian, and who knows what, only God knows sometimes, if they say that homosexual so-called marriage is a real marriage, that is pronouncing a judgment on God's truth. That's saying God is wrong. The Bible is wrong about marriage, and ditto for everything that's pro-homosexuality, pro-fornication, you name the sin. If we celebrate sin, we are pronouncing God's judgment, God's true judgment revealed in the Bible, we're pronouncing that judgment as wrong, and we're saying that we elevate ourselves as sinful human beings over the truth of God's word.
Shelley, and you need to love the individuals and love them to the point that you want to share the gospel with them about how true faith is found in Jesus Christ. So it is that of showing love, but certainly we don't accept that which is contrary to Scripture.
That helps me so much. Thank you.
Great. Thank you,
Jim,
for the
Jim, can I say one thing on that?
Sure.
I remember my friend Charlene Cothran, who came out of the lesbian lifestyle, an incredible story. Her mother told her when she was in the lifestyle, she said, Charlene, I'm afraid I'm not going to see you in heaven Now, that might come off as judgmental, but that played a factor in knowing that she was not living as an open lesbian, celebrating that. She was not living according to God's will. God ended up working in her life. The Holy Spirit changed her, and she is now leading people out of homosexuality through the grace of God.
Merle is calling from Tennessee. You're on the air.
Jim, I got a question for Brother Barber. The Word of God being the authority that we stand on against these perversions, how long does he think it's going to be until the Bible is declared a hate book?
Peter?
Well, I think we're already seeing signs of that. Well, Jim, I can't remember the story. It was a couple of years ago where a teacher quoted the Bible, and then the left, the activists on the other side, took it and said, oh, this is advocating violence against homosexuals. And so people are already misrepresenting the Bible, and there are many moves afoot to say that that is not appropriate, because what they do is it's very selfish. They take everything and they make it about gay. And so they'll take the Bible, and rather than taking the full biblical truth, they'll take it as a quote, anti-gay text and deal with it accordingly.
Let's go. Thank you for the call. John, calling from Pensacola, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
God bless you all. I just wanted to clarify, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist myself. I've been all my life. And no true Seventh-day Adventist supports this in any way. It's in our doctrine, through the law and to the testimony. We live by it. If there's someone out there acting as a Seventh-day Adventist, that's a possibility, but as a true Seventh-day Adventist, we do not support it at any level. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. And I'm quoting from the congressman's letter that he has, his press release that came out December 6th, in which there is a statement of support, quote, this is a direct quote, and I'm reading from his press release, the Seventh-day Adventist Church endorses this balanced and principled piece of legislation because it affirms two essential components of our belief system, honoring God and loving our neighbor, period, end of quote, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Comes from the press release here from Congressman Chris Stewart out of the state of Utah.
Hey, Jim, can I say, too, that this whole conversation reminds me that everybody who's listening needs to call their congressman or congresswoman and senators and urge them to oppose both the so-called Equality Act and this new bill, which is the Equality Act Lite, called the Fairness for All Bill, and very much, very strongly tell your congressman and your legislators to oppose this legislation.
And the number to your congressman is 202-225-3121. Milton from Maryland, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead, quickly.
Brother Jim, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist active member, and what you are saying is completely wrong. The church, our church, is not supporting that agenda. You must be careful when you read something from personal from somebody and endorsing to a whole community. That is not the position of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay, as I mentioned here, Milton, and thank you, and I'm out of time here. It is a direct quote from the press release from the congressman in that regard. It is appearing in newspaper accounts here across the nation as well on this very issue. And I thank you for that, and we will seek to find even further information pertaining to this very issue. Thank you. We're out of time. Peter LaBarber, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
And folks, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. You can go to congress.gov and look under Congressman Chris Stewart. You'll see his press release on December 6th dealing with this very issue. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.